CADE, and other benefit programs. Their services are free and confidential. Call 262-605-6646.
This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, a program that's designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first Saturday of every month.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, and I'm Felicia King, and today I'm going to continue with part two on the topic of operational maturity and how that drives profitability, as well as your readiness for AI adoption without having AI cause problems for your organization. It is possible. There is a formula. So let's dig into part two. In part one, brief recap, I established all of the reasons why you do have to have operational maturity before you should be adopting AI, or there's just entirely too much risk. And my other interesting observation that I just want to recap is that in my 30 years of experience working with hundreds of different organizations, most organizations all have the same challenges, and they all need to be doing the same things to gain more operational maturity, and that those efforts are also directly prerequisites for those organizations to responsibly adopt AI. Okay, so we basically established the reasons to do it and the risks associated with not doing it. I want to give you examples now, and then we'll move into solutions. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what the solution to the problem is, but I want to ensure that you have a grasp of the tangible, real-world problems that happen when you are not having an organization that has operational maturity. So a lot of operational maturity is having consistency, standards, policies, consistent management between departments, consistency between employees in a department, doing the job in a way that it doesn't matter whether person A or person B does the task, the outcome is the same. So that way you have total quality management and you have quality of outcome with your processes. You shouldn't, for example, you shouldn't be having a payroll process that's like, oh my gosh, we can't run payroll unless, you know, Sam is around. You know, that's not how you run a business, yet there's entirely too many organizations I've seen do exactly that. So let's dig into some examples. These are real world examples, and hopefully they will help you with a bit of a narrative to help your coworkers and others understand that lack of operational maturity is very adverse to the organization. Okay. So in this example, it's basically, I'm going to talk about a whole bunch of wasted payroll that really just occurred because the organization did not have a training requirement. My opinion is that training drives the awareness amongst all staff about the resources that the organization has and sets the expectation that the staff are supposed to use those resources and do so in an effective manner in accordance with policy. This is no different than safety training for drivers. You know, if you're going to give a driver a truck to drive on behalf of your business, you need to set some boundaries. Hey, this is what you do with the truck. This is what you don't do with the truck. There's got to be training there. So to me, it's pretty unfathomable that people just give somebody a computer and just, hey, here you go. Do this thing, you know, it's silly. It's disconnected, right? Okay, so in this example, There was a person who spent 8 hours of their payroll, and they were in a very high drama situation. They had, and they stirred up a lot of high drama because they had a perception that they had a massive work stoppage and that their boss was going like, oh, you got to get this done by a certain time. Okay. So they had this perceived work stoppage because of a technical issue. Yet the entire time there was a documented secondary method that had been published to the company knowledge base a year prior. So why didn't the person know about this alternate process? Well, there was no recurring training requirements from the organization. So did this person know that there was a knowledge base? Yeah, I think they did from their original onboarding. But I think it's rather naive to assume that any employee, you're going to give them their initial onboarding and their initial training, their, you know, annual training for whatever, and then somehow they're going to remember all of the things that you want them to be aware of throughout the entire year. I mean, it doesn't mesh. It certainly doesn't mesh with something that is where you want to put forth a priority in an organization of accountability, personal responsibility, and people being part of the solution. I mean, one of the most toxic things in a work environment is drama. Just really toxic to productivity, and it's toxic in a lot of other ways. You can lose good employees. You can even lose good vendors. You can lose good customers because of toxic drama. So a manager should be seeking to try to end toxic drama. And the best way to end toxic drama is to drive accountability. So you first have to start with, this is how we're going to handle things. You know, for example, we're going to have weekly training. And that weekly training, as an employee, you're expected to know that we as a company have these resources for you to use. And if you encounter a challenge, look to these resources first. And after that, ask a coworker. And then if you haven't found, you know, the solution after that, maybe ask your manager and then put in an IT ticket. Okay. There should be a process whereby the staff member tries to solve the problem on their own, as long as doing so is within the bounds of the company policy. So solve the problem on their own does not mean people have local administrator access on their computers and then they're going to try and be the IT department. That's not what that means. Solve the problem on their own, what it does mean is there's a company knowledge base. The staff are expected to know what's in the knowledge base. They're expected to know that it exists, and they're expected to attempt to use it. So in this particular case, due to the lack of operational maturity in this organization, this person had a perceived work stoppage, and they pulled everybody else in. They pulled their coworkers, they pulled the manager, and you know what? Rest of those people, they forgot about the knowledge base article that gave them a secondary method to get done what they needed to get done. And see, that's part of business continuity. You know, we don't want to have a work stoppage. So the original architect of the process looked at it and said, hey, I'm going to give you a method B. So just in the case where method A isn't working for whatever reason, you know, certainly still we want to know that method A is not working, but we don't want you to have a work stoppage. So here we're going to publish this process for method B. Well, you still need all the staff to know that method B is available and that they should go and try it. Now, what also is not cool and not acceptable is if they just switch to using method B and they never tell the appropriate people that method A is having a challenge. There is a shared responsibility model here. if the by the time the person actually used method B, it took them all of 10 minutes to get it done, and there was no drama. They were able to 100% do it all by themselves. The process was very well documented, and they got done everything that they needed to get done, and they moved on. Okay, so 8 hours of wasted payroll and a whole bunch of toxic drama compared to 10 minutes. That's the example. And the only thing that the organization needed to solve that problem to prevent the 8 hours of wasted payroll was operational maturity. They needed to have the knowledge base, good content in it, and then they needed to have a weekly training program and an accountability system where staff are expected to use the resources that the company has provided them, such as the knowledge base. Okay. Let's move on to another example here. In this example, we convert high drama, unproductive behavior to accountability. In this case, training also empowers managers. And I think that your managers in an organization need to be the most trained. The most unproductive thing in an organization is the toxic drama. This, by the way, is one of the other reasons why organizations want to use AI, is because they're pretty tired of the toxic drama from humans in the business, you know. Okay, so managers are in a unique position to stamp out and manage proactively toxic drama. But the manager themselves has to take the responsibility for being the best member of that department and having the best command of the knowledge of the tools, processes, resources that that department has and utilizes. That can only come when you have an organization that sets that kind of expectation for a manager. But I'll tell you why your managers have to have that kind of expectation upon them. The manager should be the primary support person, you know, past, you know, a coworker for someone in a department. If the manager doesn't have knowledge of the technical systems from an end user perspective, I'm not saying they have to be the IT department, but they should have a very solid command of the knowledge of those systems to the point that when an employee comes and when a staff member on their team comes and says toxic drama to them, then the manager does not perceive that that's an IT issue. Okay, this is the really key piece here. The manager must know what the answer is so that the manager can do a little bit of investigation themselves and then can come to a conclusion that this is a legitimate thing that needs to be sent to the IT department, or actually, this is an employee behavior problem. I'll give you an example. An employee configured their phone system extension in a way that was explicitly listed in the phone system guide to not configure it this way. Obviously, the technical department would have disabled that function entirely if that was possible, but it wasn't possible. So what did they do? Well, they wrote a manual, a guide, a reference guide for all staff. And one of the things that was in there, and it was only like 8 pages, it's not very long. One of the things that was in there was saying, please don't configure your phone system extension this way because it causes problems. So don't do that. Okay. It says right there in there. Don't do that. Well, the employee does that. The employee did that configuration because in that organization, there was no weekly training requirement and they were not held accountable at the organizational level for their behavior. So this employee went into toxic drama hyperbole, claiming that the phone system was the worst phone system of all time. And then they engaged in other workarounds. So it was what's astonishing here. You have to understand the toxic drama that goes on. Reading the manual, the quick guide, the small training guide for the phone system couldn't have possibly taken anyone more than 15 minutes. But this employee engages in all of this hyperbole and toxic drama and literally causes weeks worth of consternation and pulls in all kinds of other people. They engaged in workarounds that resulted in the business calls that were destined to go to them actually being forwarded to an external party, to an external individual's personal cell phone that had no affiliation with the company whatsoever. So this was like causing legal issues. The person who the employee's calls were getting forwarded to, and again, they were getting forwarded there because of the actions of the employee. They were just about to file a complaint against the FCC through the FCC against the company to have the phone number shut down. And that would have meant that the company's primary phone number would have been shut down by the FCC. You know, good luck getting that unlocked. Good luck with that. So the primary manager of this employee was absolutely complicit in the entire problem because they let this toxic drama go on. They ended up getting another manager involved. That other manager is a good manager. And this other manager steps in and says, hey, actually, the problem here is you, employee, configured your phone system extension in the wrong way. And you have no reason to claim that you didn't know or that it was somebody else's fault because it's right here in the company knowledge base. And you're accountable to knowing what's in the company knowledge base. And you're accountable to using the company provided technology in accordance with these standards and processes and policies that the company has provided you. Okay. I want to crucially point out that this was not an IT ticket. There is a cancer that eats at the heart of organizations' profitability when they allow behavior from any employee, VIP, manager, line worker, whoever. It is a cancer that eats the profitability heart out of an organization if they tolerate blaming the IT department for their poor performance. I've actually seen this like at the CFO level. It's pretty hilarious. I've seen circumstances where a CFO is having like a regular meeting with the rest of executive management. And I know about this because sometimes I'm in those meetings. And the CFO brings up in the meeting about how they had a problem with some piece of technology that they use. It wasn't something that hit the whole department or anything like that. It was just, you know, they had a problem with some piece of technology once during the week. Why is this relevant at all to that meeting? Well, I can tell you why. Because that CFO is trying to communicate to the executive management team that they had problems. And so that's why, I don't know, maybe their work didn't get done as fast as it should have. And an organization needs to have a culture where people's poor performance issues are not IT related. The IT department cannot be the reason for people's poor performance. When I talk to other professionals in the industry, other chief technology officers, they tell me that this kind of toxic cancer in organizations seems to be fairly ubiquitous. And the only thing that stops it is when managers take responsibility to know what is right and what is not so that they're not bamboozled. So when they have an employee that is like, oh, I can't access my data, and so I couldn't do my job, then the manager is able to look at it and say, well, that's bull, because you have these three different ways to access your data. I mean, as an example, this one is just truly hilarious. I one time saw a support ticket from a person who claimed that they needed to use the VPN in order to access OneDrive, but yet they had a company-owned or a company-provided laptop, and they were working from home. Well, their OneDrive is available on their company-provided laptop. They don't need to be VPNing into a desktop at the office to get at that. You know, that's a technical reality. Now, if a good manager would look at that and go like, you know, why do you even have a desktop computer at the office? Like, why? And if there actually is a legitimate reason, you as an employee should know about how to use OneDrive well enough to know that you can also access it on your company provided laptop that you're using from home. You know, that's not an IT ticket. And the reason it's not an IT ticket is because the manager was trained. So the manager can hold the employee accountable for not using the technology that the company has provided in a proper manner. Sometimes what I do with managers who want to actually be better is they'll talk to me about some of these things, and I will assist them in creating a development plan for employee accountability. And then they put their employee on a development plan, and that development plan almost always ends up utilizing the company training resources. And then that way, and then we employ systems, my company puts in systems for them where the manager is empowered to be able to see the employee scores with regards to that training and monitor their progress objectively. So it becomes very easy for the manager to drive a development plan for an employee and to hold them accountable to that. It's a very good model. In another truly horrific example is one where sales above everything was the culture of an organization. And training was just never seen as something that was an empowerment. It was never seen as something that was related to profitability. And so what I saw at that organization was that the level of productivity was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And there was no business continuity because each employee did stuff as if they were an independent contractor. I mean, they basically just used the company systems in whatever way they wanted. And because the manager was telling them that sales was more important than anything, well, they didn't know how to use the phone system. They didn't know how to use the company password manager. They didn't know how to use their computers effectively. Most assuredly, they didn't know what the company policies were. They didn't have standards. And because staff weren't trained, they weren't doing things consistently. So if someone was out for a week or you had an employee leave, then no one was really able to effectively take over that workload without impacting customers. You know, so there's a real continuity problem. And that also led to employee retention problems. There was a very high turnover there. And it came from this environment where instead of the team being a team, they were like competing with each other and they wouldn't help each other. And so someone who was new to the team, who was, you know, trying to do good, they didn't know what the standards were. They didn't know what was expected of them other than this amorphous, you know, drive sales. Okay, drive sales, but how? Drive sales to what level of quality? You know, there's a whole lot of quantitative and qualitative guardrails that were just completely missing from that. And the other massive adverse impact that I saw was it wasn't just about their own payroll getting wasted. It was the payroll of everybody who had to support them was getting wasted because of all of their inefficiencies. So you have to decouple a role from an individual. Organizations need to start looking at things like roles. I hate this whole thing like Brian does payroll. I hate that comment. And I hate that comment because it delineates to me that somebody is thinking that, you know, the only way we can do payroll is if Brian is around. It's much better to say we have a team of individuals who are aware of our payroll processes and we job rotate them. So we have quality control and quality assurance, and we one of the best ways that we ensure that everyone knows how to do the processes effectively is because we require rotation. It may be convenient to have Brian do the payroll all the time, but it's better if, you know, Jody or Sally can do it 1 week a month, you know, or, you know, every other. How do you get process documentation to actually be really vetted and tested and tuned and improved? It's by having people actually change who's doing that process, and not just once, but on a regular basis. On a regular basis. It's very convenient, I think, for a lot of short-sighted managers to look at functions in a company and say, we're going to always have Brian do it because Brian knows how to do that process and he's really, really, really efficient. Well, what they're effectively doing is shoving themselves into a box and saying, well, we're now going to be absolutely fearful that we're going to lose Brian. Our world is going to be turned upside down. We can't, you know, now we have to send Brian on vacation with a laptop. Really? Just let the man go on vacation. That's ridiculous. People shouldn't be employed someplace where they can't go on vacation without hauling around a company laptop. You know, that's not employee retention. So if there's anything in the organization that is driving somebody to the point where they feel like, well, we have assigned this role to one person and made them responsible for it, I would argue you've put too many eggs in one basket and you have to decouple that. And the best way to start thinking about decoupling that is to start thinking about things in terms of roles. There's always seems to be this like thought process of loyalty to an individual. Like, we love Brian. Brian's been with the company 2,500,000 years, you know. you get what I'm saying. It's like, you don't have to be disloyal to Brian. Like, that's not an outcome of you telling Brian, you are an expert in these processes. We need you to write the documentation. And then what we're going to do is we're going to actually progressively have someone else take over doing those job duties until they achieve your level of expertise in that task. And maybe we'll just continue to have them do it to free up some of, you know, Brian's time, since he's an expert in things, where he can then document more processes. So there are ways to tell people about the need and the methods to get to a point where they're, the whole organization is benefiting. And, you know, the reality is that you don't have a business if you're going to have an employee who's gone and stuff grinds to a halt. That's not a business. That's, you know, a hobby. I don't know. I don't know what the exact right word is for it, but it's not a serious business. And don't think that large organizations have achieved this. I mean, I've seen organizations that are in excess of $500 million a year in revenue, and they haven't achieved this. And it's just a portion of intentionality. You know, if you're a small business and you're looking at this and saying, oh, I can't do that, I would say actually it's the easiest for you to do it. It's the easiest for you to achieve operational maturity because as a business owner, you have the ability to make a decision, make policies, make standards, make the documentation, and you don't have to do it with a committee-based approach. Well, I'm out of time on part two here. I hope you enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology.